The Kate Daly Show starts now.
The truth hurts, doesn't it, Habsburg? Oh, sure. Maybe not as much as jumping on a bicycle with a seat missing, but it hurts.
Hi there. Welcome, Kate Daly Show. I hope you're having a great day. I'm so glad you're joining me. And of course, I've got Melissa Smith on because it's Wednesday. She joins me at this time every Wednesday. Hi, Melissa.
Hello, Kate. How are you?
I'm good. It's so much. There's so much going on right now. Doesn't it just feel like crazy town right now? So I tried to relax a little bit and watch a movie last night. And the movie I watched was The Windermere Children. Interesting pick, but yes, I watched this movie. I think it's a newer movie that just came out, and it talks about the children coming out of the Holocaust. They went to Windermere to try to kind of get some normalcy after such trauma of being in the, of course, at, you know, Auschwitz and all of these different places. And how they did it, how they kind of helped them to get through that trauma. And they didn't realize how bad it was going to be. They didn't realize how bad their, what they were going to go through. And all the kids had night terrors and they were literally pulled out of the Holocaust to this place. And so they were trying to go through all this and realizing that their most of their families had been murdered and slaughtered. And so it was all of this at one time for these little kids and how they were dealing with it. And one of the workers said, wow, you know, this is more trauma than we ever thought, than we ever even realized. Because she had dealt with kids with trauma before, but they used to hold on to hope that, you know, everything was going to be okay, right? And so when they would draw happy pictures because they remember what hope felt like, right? After they'd been through a crisis, but these kids couldn't remember that. So they kept pulling from this place that was so hard and just so sickening. And watching that and knowing what Melissa's going to talk about today and what our kids will be going through right now, what they are going through. It's a heady topic, but one I'm glad we're actually focusing on because I think it's not talked about as much as it should be.
Well, I got kind of interested in, this is something I've been interested in for a long time because of my own experience,
right.
My own experience as a mother,
mm-hmm.
but I have a child who had a medical trauma at birth.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have contemplated the role of trauma to children for a long time. But I had a really interesting conversation with a little friend of mine who's only 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he was so sad because it's so hard to make new friends at school this year.
Right.
And he's usually a very happy kid, very optimistic, very articulate. And I wish I had a picture of the sadness on his face. Like, it's just so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a little conversation about wearing masks and how hard it is to make new friends when you wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
That as a human being, human beings are, now I didn't talk to him about this, but as a human being, we are social beings.
Mm-hmm.
I always tell my kids, you know, people are pack animals. We live together in social units. We need that contact with other people. And what has happened since last March has been the complete breakdown of that component of our human experience.
Hmm.
And it, you know, as adults, sure, maybe we have a little bit better intellectual capacity to, mm-hmm, kind of put it in perspective, or we have a little bit more resilience towards things being hard. We know how to think about it. But if you think about our children, they are in a tough spot, and kids don't think the way adults do.
Yeah, true. True.
And kids right now, I mean, if I think about the load of trauma that that our children are being asked to absorb.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are aware. They're, you know, the 2020 has been just kind of a joke, right?
Right.
There's been outrageous weather events. And by the way, that does have an impact on kids too. Whether we're talking about wildfires or earthquakes
sure.
or hurricanes
sure.
or tornadoes or inland hurricanes, you know, all this
right.
crazy stuff.
Right.
But our kids, you know, whereas we as adults, we may say, okay, well, we know how to measure that.
Mm-hmm. In
a
perspective.
Kid may not. They
yeah.
don't know how to measure. Okay, the threat is over, or that threat is happening somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
or they didn't cause this sad thing to happen.
Right.
And then we take kids and we send them to school where I'm afraid some of the message that they're getting is that they are totally responsible for the health and well-being of other people.
Adults.
If you take the mask
adults.
Off, you might kill mm-hmm. grandma.
Yes. Or the bus driver, or the worker at school, or the lunch lady, or your friends. It's really destructive. It's
well,
just so nefarious that they're doing this to these
well,
kids.
Well, this is kind of a hat tip to Amazing Polly, who's mm-hmm. who's a YouTuber.
Yeah, she's great.
And something that she said really stuck in my mind. She said, right now, we're teaching our children that they have to subordinate their individual desires or needs for the greater community good.
Hmm.
And that is, in its essence, a Marxist philosophy.
Yes, it is.
But if we want to break down the will of individuals of individualism in the United States,
mm-hmm.
there's no easier place to do it, number one, is to start with children who really don't know how to process that message.
Mm-hmm.
And we're watching our children being assaulted on every side.
Right.
So there's kind of crazy weather. I can help my kids deal with crazy weather.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're going to add to it a pandemic. And we're all afraid of that. And our kids walk around and they walk through the grocery store and they hear those comments.
Mm-hmm.
They see the looks.
Right.
They go to school and now suddenly everywhere they go, anything they touch has to be wiped down because there's something wrong with them.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
You know, I'm really concerned about the psychology of what our kids are being asked to cope with right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it goes even beyond that. I think it goes, we're also watching California's law in which they're whether mm-hmm. they have actually passed the law to lower the age at which sexual abuse is considered actually sexual abuse.
Yeah. Yeah. They've been working on that for quite a long time. Yeah.
Well, here's the interesting part of it. In the mid-1990s, the CDC and Kaiser Permanente did a study on what's called, it was childhood trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And the impact of childhood trauma on our health.
Right.
And one of the things that they found out is that 7 out of 10 of the leading causes of death in the United States
mm-hmm.
have a link to childhood trauma exposure.
Right. Right.
So when we take our kids and we expose them to trauma at very young ages, and then they have an increased risk of brain development dysfunctions,
mm-hmm.
of, this is really interesting, immune system dysfunction.
Interesting.
Hormonal, yeah, very mm-hmm. interesting. Hormonal dysfunction. Even DNA transcription can be affected by childhood trauma.
Wow.
So let's add now to the story of childhood trauma what we're already asking our kids to cope with.
Right.
And probably without very much support because we don't really know what the heck is going on either.
And here's the clincher, too. See, and this is what when I was watching the Windermere children from the Holocaust, It was interesting to see that the prolonged exposure. So when you're talking about an earthquake or you're talking about a hurricane, it comes and it goes and you're fearful. And in that moment, and the kids probably are getting that same fear. They're living with you. They're understanding that we have something to fear, and it goes away after a few days or a week, right? It's gone. This is prolonged now for 8 solid months. 8 solid months. They were locked in their homes. They can't go out. They can't play. They couldn't go to parks. Now in school, they're isolated behind plexiglass. They're masked up. They can't sit together and eat together. I mean, it goes on and on and on. This is prolonged daily, nightly. It's not going away because the sham of what COVID actually is taking place in our media 24/7. So kid walks through the house, sees his parents afraid. And I actually thought it was kind of amusing that the CDC came out and said, you should minimize the fear and anxiety for your children. But we want you to feel it. But maybe you should minimize theirs. No, they're going to feel what you're feeling as an adult. And so there are a lot of people out there who have their kids masked up wherever they go, and they're teaching them to mask up while they're exercising and mask up while they're walking by themselves because they have so much to fear. I mean, it's insane what these adults are passing on to these kids. It's abusive.
And it's very self-righteous, too.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And it's being packaged in a... You know, it's because we care about other people that we do this.
Yes, look at us. We're so amazing that we're going to wear this 24/7 because you could kill somebody, but we're not, Johnny. not going to kill somebody today. Give me a break. Yeah.
To give you some perspective on it, there are some people in the healthcare community who are saying that what we have been through in 2020 is on the same scope as 9/11 was.
Mm.
It's just not, 9/11 was a, you know, it was an event, and it happened, and then we kind of dealt with the aftermath. But if you recall 9/11, there was a lot of, you know, well, we didn't know what was going to come next, and we didn't know what we, you know, the lot of that lingered for a while. But I don't know, my kids were very small when that happened. Like, I had a baby and a 3-year-old, and they were very much oblivious to 9/11.
Right. Sure.
But a 3-year-old right now is probably not oblivious to the mask mandate because they've been asked to mask up themselves.
Oh, my gosh, yes. We'll be right back. More with Melissa Smith. She comes every Wednesday at this hour, and I love it. We'll be right back. Great conversation. We'll be right back on The Kate Daly Show, katedalyradio.com for the podcast of this show. Be right back.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
Now, I'm over 50, and I've tried lots of supplements in the past, and I've never had anything work as good as Balance of Nature in such a short period of time. I'm amazed at the mental and physical transformation I've had since I've started taking it. And it's only been maybe 3 months. I say, if there's anyone that is listening, if they listen on the radio or see the advertisements on TV, that, you know, don't delay. You're only putting off a chance to improve yourself health-wise. It's a great product.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell. Slowly go by.
Hi there. Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. You're listening to The Kate Daly Show. I'm Kate Daly, your host. I've got Melissa Smith on with me. And make sure you get over to balanceofnature.com. You can use my first name, Kate, K-A-T-E, as the coupon code. And when you put that in, the promo code, that'll give you 35% off and free shipping. You're going to want this supplement. You should be taking one. If you're not, you should be. And by the way, Balance of Nature has 31 fruits and vegetables. They pack more into this along with their fiber drink that has everything in it to stabilize your blood sugar and minerals and vitamins and nutrients that you're probably not getting in the food supply right now. In fact, I was just reading an article about Bill Gates destroying Africa's food supply. And so I'll be getting into that in the next hour. But let me tell you, we have a severe problem going on with too much control over our food supply and what's going into it. You have to have a supplement. So I do Balance of Nature if I were you. That's the one I would suggest after doing my homework. This is the one I take, and my husband loves it too. My family loves it. So make sure you're getting all of those nutrients, 31 fruits and vegetables a day, plus all the fiber and nutrients coming from the drink as well. It tastes like apples. It's really actually really good. And in about 2 weeks, you'll start noticing big changes in health. So please, by all means, get yourself some Balance of Nature. And we're going to be talking a little bit about health, actually, with Melissa and the health effects of what is happening to our kids. Because this prolonged exposure, not only the prolonged fear psychologically, what this is doing to them, and they feel like they could kill somebody and kill their friends if they even have a sniffle. This is the kind of fear of God that parents are putting into children. Because I know, because you can't you kind of tell, Melissa, a little bit as you're walking around the grocery store, the kids that have been taught by their parents to fear, and they've got the mask on and they're wide eyed, and if somebody even comes near them, they almost shriek. You know, it's like, it's bizarre what's going on right now and how these kids are being taught to that they could kill somebody with a stupid common cold virus. So it's pathetic and it's psychologically damaging, but we got to talk about the health effects too.
Important to remember, mm-hmm. whether the virus is real or not, mm-hmm. whether the virus is going to kill you or not,
right?
The psychological effects on our kids mm-hmm. is absolutely going to damage their health.
Yeah,
that is a for sure. And that's not a new big hot news announcement. I told you Kaiser Permanente and the CDC did this study in 1995.
Mm-hmm.
So they've known this for a long time.
Right.
25 years they've known about what's called adverse childhood experiences. They call them ACEs.
Mm-hmm.
And in the study that they did, they had 17,000 adults, and they had everybody take a little survey. These were people, it was a predominantly Caucasian test group, and they were predominantly college educated. And many of those people, many, many of them, I think only 30% of that test group had zero adverse childhood traumatic experiences. So almost all of us have had one or more of these things. And now not all of them are psychological. Mm-hmm. Like I said, my son, I would consider him mm-hmm. in that category because he had a traumatic medical experience.
Mm-hmm.
Kids who have been in dramatic car accidents or kids who have been in a hurricane or in an earthquake can have that. Those are traumatic experiences, and sometimes they're uncontrollables. But I think what we're talking about right now is something that is a controllable.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be very aware as parents of what might lie in their future medically.
Right.
And I think doctors have not been very good. Doctors don't really address this very well.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a parent, be vigilant, be aware of this, but listen to some of this and tell me if some of these are not things that we're concerned about, but not addressing perhaps in the way that we could be if we were more astute about this particular issue. So if you have one ACE, and I said, and they estimate now that about 67% of us have had one or more. Okay, so that 30%, whatever, is the small little group. But 12% or one in eight people walking around out there have had four or more of these traumatic experiences. And the way in which it affects our health,
mm-hmm.
people who have had four or more of these ACE experiences are 2.5 times more likely to have COPD, 2.5 more times more likely to have hepatitis, 4.5 more times to have depression,
wow.
and 12 times more prone to suicide attempts.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah. So wow. those are pretty pretty significant. If you have seven or more ACE experiences, you have three times the risk of lung cancer and 3.5 times the risk of ischemic heart disease, which is the number one killer in the United States.
Wow. Wow.
So just to kind of give you, just to kind of put the icing on the cake here, the president of the American Academy of Pediatrics has said that ACEs are the single greatest unaddressed public health threat facing the United States today.
Jeez.
It's not COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Childhood trauma.
Not COVID by a landslide.
By the bucketful right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Yes, absolutely. And we don't realize, and you made a remark off air, you know, kind of like the polio vaccine that was infected, that they went ahead, the CDC went ahead and sent out the, you know, it said, oh, this is fine, even though they absolutely 100% knew it was infected. And then what developed later?
Well, people got cancer,
yeah.
soft tissue cancer.
War on cancer, four different soft tissues went through the roof and have never stopped. And I think that's kind of an amazing link for people to understand. A lot of people don't even get that the war on cancer developed right after that, right after half of our entire country was given those infected injections or infected medicine.
Well, there are some places, some clinics, some medical clinics that were affiliated with Kaiser Permanente that began to put screenings in place in pediatric facilities.
Mm-hmm.
To look at that and give kids in those kind of kids with these kind of problems and,
right.
and you know, these issues, additional support. For example, a kid that has asthma, that has multiple ACE experiences, can have a bigger flare from asthma. They need more asthma support, or diabetes. It's the same. Interestingly enough, are those not two things that are affiliated with a higher risk for COVID?
Right. Right.
And then we slap a mask on a kid and say, you can't come to school unless you're wearing that mask, which also increases a lot of risk for people. That puts those kids in an interesting higher risk group, because they're not higher risk because of the COVID. They're at a higher risk because of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And trauma can come from anything from divorce
right.
in their family, to substance abuse in their family, to mental health issues in their family, to poverty can generate kids who are exposed to a lot of violence.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of wonder, I have been thinking about this all day today, as we give our kids more and more exposure to social media that has a great deal of violence and
right.
I'm not sure that that's really in a child's mind a secondhand experience. If they see it on the news, are they experiencing it as if it's outside their house?
Mm. Yeah.
So the other risk factors, sexual abuse, but in California, we think that's okay now.
Yeah.
Right?
Apparently.
And so sexual abuse, and then there's like physical or emotional abuse in their home or wherever they may be. If a kid is, that's a pretty long list. And then you add to that kids that are in other kinds of like medical trauma or an accident or a weather event or whatever. That's a lot of us.
Yeah.
A lot of us have had those exposures in
that
our life.
That is so true. And what happens when we go into another lockdown? What happens with our kids? You know, they're I don't think we realize what that would do to them again. They go off their parents' fear. And by the looks of it, we have so many people wearing masks that I'm going to guess that a lot of these kids are taking on what their parents, are saying about it. They're not going to be too much different. You're not going to notice a whole lot of difference. So they're going to take on how their parents feel. They're taking on that fear. And I just can't imagine, I mean, for them, an entire year of this. You know, we have all this perspective and history behind us. We can understand what they're doing and why they're doing it and how they're doing it. But these kids would have a super hard time grasping that, because they're also taught to embrace authority as kids, right? As parents tell them, don't talk to somebody older like that, or at school, you respect your teacher, you respect all these people. All these people are teaching them to fear. So now what? I don't know.
Well, I think the really important piece of all of this for us as adults is to make sure that our responses are rational and not over the top.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be the mom with your kids in tow at the grocery store that's yelling at somebody else for not wearing a mask.
Can you even imagine?
You know, just because, yeah. You know, seriously, other right. whether it's your kids or other people's kids, we have children observing that.
Right.
And that's just bad behavior.
Right.
Don't be doing that.
Right.
Whatever you think about it.
Don't be a little Nazi.
Walk away, for goodness sake. Just go somewhere else.
Exactly. Oh, they have a repellent personality anyway. But yes, I mean, can you even imagine the kids picking up on that? That's how you treat people? Oh, my gosh.
Well, there's a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know, you're a mother of boys, too, and mm-hmm. I'm a mother of boys.
Right.
And I would say this as a mother of girls, but I don't have any girls to compare that experience
to. I do have some girls. Yes, go ahead.
But uh-huh. you know that the mm-hmm. more you feed a child's fear, if a mm-hmm. kid falls down and skins their knee and there's blood, and you say, oh my gosh, if you really have a hyper overreaction to that and they think they're going to die, mm-hmm. it's going to be a bad scene.
Yeah.
If you kind of approach them in a calm way mm-hmm. and say, hey, you know, let's look at that. Let's see. Let's assess it. Let's see how bad it really is.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to live through this minute.
Right.
I'm sorry that it hurts. And you move on. You're helping your kid to move on. And I
right.
think our children don't really have the long view. They don't have enough life experience to know that this is not going to last forever.
Yeah.
So let's as adults model kind of a more rational approach,
mm-hmm.
less fear, more confidence, more faith that things are going to be okay.
Right.
And they will be.
Right.
Because they already are, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because this whole thing is just absolutely ridiculous. But and so how much do you talk to your kids about that? Because they're going to overhear conversations. And, you know, for me, my kids know exactly, but they're older. You know, my kids know exactly what's going on and picked up on that quite early. So even from the beginning. So it'll be interesting to see how kids respond to really both sides of the fence, the total truth about what's going on with our government versus the fear porn that they're trying to sell on our kids. And that is, you're going to kill somebody any minute. I can't even imagine as a little kid thinking that. I mean, I look back on my childhood and how carefree it was. Can you even imagine? And even just with the little kid problems that little kids think they have, can you imagine thrusting this on them? We'll be right back. More with Melissa when we come back in just a moment. There's so much more to talk about, too, because we just don't realize what we're doing. And there's more to this. Now that it's been 8 months, like I said, it's a slow-moving virus that's going to kill you if it's taken 8 months to get you. You know, take off the mask first and foremost and stop scaring the hell out of your kids. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Every road you roam. And may sunshine and happiness surround you when you're far from home. Be courageous and be brave. And in my heart, you'll always stay forever young.
Love that song. All right, welcome back. Kate Daly Show. And it has a great message in it. And it's all about your kids. In fact, we're talking about your kids today, and we're talking about what we're doing to them right now and all the effects right now this year is going to have on our kids. I can't even imagine what this is going to do to our kids. But I have Melissa Smith with me to shed some light on this. And by the way, go to the website, Kate Daly Radio. Three words, katedalyradio.com. And you can always hit listen live. And then you can always get the podcasts on the end of the homepage. And so the call-in number is there as well. And you can get the call-in number to call into the show, 888-673-1450. We're happy to take your calls as well. Melissa, you know, I fear what our kids are going to be going through. You know, our adults are idiotic enough to buy into all this, but the kids are what I have a problem with because they're being taught all of this, and they're being taught to take all this seriously. I know a young mom who basically pretty much locked her kids in the house, wouldn't even let them play with anyone, no friends, anybody, for like a month and a half, 2 months. And I just thought, what are you doing to your kids? Oh my gosh. And that was at the heart of the lockdown, and people were acting crazy town over this.
Well, yeah, no kidding. And you know, it's time right now. We know a lot about the relative risk of various things.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to expose your kids that you live in the same house with to anything by taking them outside for a walk around the neighborhood, or mm-hmm. to go outside in your backyard and play, or even to have a friend or two over. That's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think kids read a lot about the relative safety of things by our demeanor,
yeah.
by what we are communicating to them.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you're thinking, get yourself under control first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really get a hold of yourself.
So true.
And
yeah, they really do. And they have a lot more questions than people realize, because they're probably not, they might not ask, but they have a lot of questions. I've talked to little kids between the ages of 5 and 10, and let me tell you, they have a lot of questions, and things don't make sense to them. And they're being told to be germophobes. They're being instructed to be a germaphobe. And it reminds me of my George Carlin clip coming into the show sometimes. I mean, we're so crazy about germs and people that are hand sanitizing their grocery cart after. You know, I mean, it's just insane the levels that our kids are watching people go to right now.
Well, it's what's kind of funny to me is, there's a wonderful power in rephrasing or reframing
mm-hmm.
things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be a germaphobe, but hand washing is certainly a good thing to do.
Right, but we've always done it, so there's no reason to like go crazy about it or feel like you have to teach it every 5 seconds, like the government feels like they have to do to us as adults and treat us like little kids and pat us on the head, because we've always washed our hands. I mean, I don't understand. For all the years of my life, I've always done that. They're acting like this is new. Like, oh, hey, guys, by the way, we're introducing this new thing called wash your hands. That's how I feel, don't you?
Well, with little kids, that's yeah. not always a given.
Well, I mean, I taught my kids.
I think it's, you know, just a reminder. Hey, you just came from the bathroom. Did you wash your hands?
Right.
Is enough.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to lecture them. We're coming in from the grocery store.
Can
like,
you imagine?
Let's wash. And
oh,
you do
gosh.
It too.
Yeah.
I'm going to wash my hands because we were just in the grocery store, and you know, you just.
Well,
people,
we're
you don't know
them.
What you're encountering at the grocery
it's
store.
It's kind of like we're teaching them, like, you know, germs are important, too, because they help build our immune system. So the more we do that to them, I fear that we're turning them into little OCD germophobes. And I hope we're not doing that, because I just hope it would just be the normal common sense that everybody has, right? I mean, I would hope. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that it's also a really important thing to remember.
Mm-hmm.
You're, as a parent, you're probably not the only voice either
mm-hmm.
that your kid is hearing.
Oh, yeah. They're getting it at school. There were assemblies at a school, the school district that I'm a part of, where they were literally telling the kids if they didn't wear their mask exactly right, they were going to, they could kill Johnny, their friend. I couldn't even. Wow. I could not believe it. And then after kids were coming back with a negative test, they were being isolated in the back of the room and isolated at lunch. Can you imagine the psychological effects of this? Do you know isolation is a form of torture? And where these kids need, after all this lockdown, they need to be with people, to see people's facial expressions, to be around their friends. I can't even imagine the isolation aspect of this.
Well, by the way, I'm not so sure that the isolation aspect of this has not been a part of the programming from the
yes.
beginning.
Yes.
Because that bleeds over to beyond our kids. We know of people that I was just reading today an experience of a woman who said she was tested back in March and actually had COVID,
mm-hmm.
but recovered.
Of course she did.
since that time,
uh-huh.
her family has not been willing to come to visit her or see her. You know, people, she's become the social pariah because she had COVID, and that's ridiculous.
Right, right. It's true, though.
So,
people will do that. They will treat them like a pariah. It's really quite sad when you think about what we've done in this? And the way we've let the CDC and Anthony Fauci, one of the most corrupt individuals ever, to lead the charge on this, as he's flip-flopped so many times. He was just in an interview with Jennifer Garner, the actress, because he won't actually be interviewed by anyone anymore. He only likes Matthew McConaughey and Jennifer Garner. And so he was saying, oh, just take vitamin A and vitamin D and vitamin C. And I'm laughing because it contradicts his whole fear thing. It's bizarre, and our kids don't realize that we're listening to a very corrupt man at the head of a very corrupt organization steer our lives. Oh, it's so sad.
Well, you know, don't forget, as an adult, you have a great deal more ability to shape and reframe what your kids are hearing. Even though I have young adult kids in my house, we have talked about the importance of good nutrition.
Right.
And I have told my two kids who are on a college campus, you know, you guys really, you know, seriously wash your hands. You don't know where anybody has been, but you also need to be eating properly, because whether it's flu or whether it's just the rigors of the energy that you're expending with jobs and school and everything, you know, talk to your kids about how to be healthy generally.
Right.
Not because we're in COVID, but because they need to hear that from you.
Exactly.
You
know?
They just need to hear that all the time.
Oh, this is just, it's just getting so out of hand. And I'm so sad. I'm sad for these kids who actually will walk away thinking that they are, that they could kill somebody. It's such a sad sentiment to me, because I remember when I was at a grocery store, and the mom basically, like, took her kids, because I wasn't wearing a mask, and literally just kind of put them into her and just was like, you know, and the kids were looking at me all wide eyed, like I was going to kill them. It's sad, sad.
Well, I know I've had, you know, and I hate to sound kind of Pollyanna-like, maybe that's an expression people today don't even remember, but to put a good face on something with our kids, I have already had this conversation with my 8-year-old friend that there's probably not going to be trick or treating this year. And so while I was discussing that, I said, well, you know, let's go back and think about where trick or treating started. Mm-hmm. It was, you give me a treat or I play a trick.
Right.
So we're planning a whole day of practical jokes. Okay. And he thinks that's better than trick or treating anyway.
Hey, that's cool. And so, there are a lot of people that are going to do that anyway. And I'm glad to see that. I mean, go on with your normal life. You know what I mean? I'm glad that there are people that are going to fight against that.
Find a way. And if we would lock down again, tell your kids, okay, so the government's being dumb. We're not going to let that disrupt our life.
Yeah.
We're still going to have a great life no matter what.
Yeah. I think that's such a good thing.
We're going to be rational. It's a much better message for our kids to say, oh, yeah, well, okay, so we don't do some of the things that we're used to doing, but we're going to have an adventure.
Right. And
for goodness sakes.
Yep. And I'm hoping we're teaching kids to stand up for the truth, too. And I'm hoping that they're included when you go to some of these events that you can be at to say we're not okay with this, because the kids need to see that part, too. They need to see you standing up, me standing up, all of us as patriots of this country, and what's important, and the in the way that it's being hijacked. And here's one more thing, too. If you want to talk to your kids today, tell them this, because this will help them. By the world, by the WHO's numbers today on worldometers.com, which is constantly added to, right? In our entire nation, every single state only has about 280 people. And this is their numbers. They're inflated numbers. 280 people per state that are even considered serious, because they have more than, you know, they have a couple of ailments. So everybody else is fine. There's only 282 people in each state that, if you wanted to even out the number, that would even be considered serious, not hospitalized, just even more serious with illness. And I'll just call it flu right now, since Redfield of the CDC doesn't know the difference between COVID and flu, as he's announced, that they have the flu, but it's not even really serious. It's just kind of serious. And that's only 280 people per state right now. That's pretty. And we're doing all of this for them, I guess. That makes no sense. But hopefully that'll help, because there's only 14,000 people in the entire country right now that are even considered serious. And they've been that way for a month. They've been considered, they were considered, same ones were considered serious last month.
Well, maybe one of the best messages we can share with our kids too is we don't live a fearful life.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to live life and we're going to enjoy the things that, mm-hmm. that come to us, and we're not going to live in fear.
Right.
There are things out there in the world to be fearful of, but COVID is not probably one of the top 10 on my list right now.
Mm-hmm.
But to teach kids just to have the right, a measured response is huge. And one of the other things that I think that I have thought a lot about this too, and we're a religious family. You have a religious family too, that we need to make sure that kids don't get the idea that, mm-hmm. that they are being punished by God.
Yeah, there's another one. Yes.
This is not whatever your theology may dictate about whether this is something that that God's trying to get our attention in some way.
Yeah.
It's not any individual's issue.
And here's, I love that. And here's one more too, from a caller. And that is, your kids are spending more time with that teacher. You might want to let that teacher know how you feel about COVID and inform the teacher. Because if the teacher is so fearful and they're very, very, I would say they are tipping the scales at liberal progressive today at over probably 95%. They're probably teaching that kind of fear all day long in the classroom. And so the parents do need to write the teachers and let them know and inform them and talk them off the ledge so that they are not indoctrinating our kids 24 hours a day, and let them know that you would not appreciate them spreading that kind of fear to the kids. And if a mask falls off, don't everybody shriek in horror. And if the kid doesn't want to wear the mask while sitting at the desk, don't enforce it. That kind of thing. Because you know what? We're having a huge problem with these teachers and their liberal indoctrination on these children. And I'm really fearing that right now, because a lot of these teachers are pretty wacky. So,
well, any teacher who's got a BLM poster or a banner in their classroom who's teaching their kids fear about the mask has got some priorities.
Yeah. Get your kid a different teacher, and or best yet, pull them out completely. That would be my exactly what I'd tell you to do. Pull them out, because it's just going to get worse. So but I love all these points, though.
It's a really refreshing thing, and maybe it's just the people I know or the place where I live.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of teachers are being mandated to wear the mask in their classroom, even though if you talk to them privately, they don't really want to be doing it either.
Right. So
especially in elementary classrooms, I've talked to several, more than one or two teachers who are frustrated that they are not as effective as teachers.
Mm-hmm.
As they could be because of it,
I wish they would stand more. I wish the school districts would stand more. There's lots of examples of the school districts actually standing up against their government of their state. And we just need to make sure that message is known, because they can have backbone, courage, and integrity. They can do it. A lot are not willing, but they can. And the option is there. I so appreciate this hour. Thanks so much. Really appreciate it, Melissa Smith. You're awesome.
Thanks.
Thank you. And I'll be right back with Susan. And, of course, a whole lot of information on Soros, all kinds of stuff coming up in the next hour you're not going to want to miss. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.